Hare Krishna. Reading from My Glorious Master, Japan, 1970. Prabhupada's unexpected visit to Japan. Prabhupada arrived unexpectedly in Tokyo in mid-August 1970. He was accompanied by a party of six of his most senior disciples. Four of them were sannyasis: Sudama, Chintamani, Satyavrata, Amoga, and I greeted him at the airport. Prabhupada looked different, though. Was Prabhupada sick, I wondered? Prabhupada looked much older than when I had last seen him in New Vrindavan. My comment. Except for Sudama, no one knew anything about the difficulties Prabhupada had been undergoing and which had prompted his sudden visit. Later, we heard that Prabhupada had left America due to a, quote, conspiracy among his disciples. Prabhupada's mail was being filtered in Los Angeles and his movements restricted. ISKCON's letterhead no longer listed him as the founder Acharya of ISKCON, but simply as the founder. Prabhupada's worry and loss of sleep showed in his face. These problems appeared as a defeat to Prabhupada's preaching. But Prabhupada used the, quote, defeat to initiate his preaching in India, the biggest preaching field in the world. Thus, Prabhupada's transcendental intelligence turned bad to good, unfavorable to favorable, and defeat to victory. Yet, ISKCON's difficulties did affect Prabhupada. After arriving in Tokyo, he wrote to Hansa Dutta, "Your first letter was duly received, but during the last few months I was very much mentally depressed. I do not wish to discuss those points, but simply request all the members of the governing body commission to organize this institution very uprightly." Then, in the same letter, Prabhupada discussed his plans for preaching in India. "Now I am staying in our Japanese center looking after the publications of books, dealing with Dainopan Printing Company, and have already placed order with them for different books and magazines to the extent of $52,000. Most of these books will be carried to India for making propaganda there on or before the World Sankirtan Party reaches there." The conspiracy thickens. We were shocked by a telephone call from New Vrindavan a few days later. The callers asked us to inform Prabhupada that, quote, the conspirators to whom Prabhupada had just awarded sannyas had attended a festival at New Vrindavan and they had preached that Prabhupada was actually Krishna. A few of the devotees had become confused, but some senior devotees had defeated the sannyasis. Before leaving America, Prabhupada had given the, quote, conspirators sannyas and ordered them to travel and preach. And that way, he said, they would become purified and free of their offenses. Instead, they caused more trouble and crossed Prabhupada's line of tolerance. Prabhupada was not going to allow his fledgling society to become threatened or contaminated by their philosophical deviation. When he heard this news, he cut them off from ISKCON. Prabhupada's tolerance towards his young disciples was unlimited, but he limited it to protect his society. ISKCON's mission was too important. He was still concerned, however, for the spiritual lives of the, quote, conspirators. He made it clear that they would again be welcome in ISKCON when they rectified their mistake. The sannyasis quickly returned to ISKCON and to Prabhupada's service. Vyasa Puja Day, 1970. Prabhupada stayed in his Tokyo apartment on Janmashtami of 1970. He spent the day with some disciples reading Krishna book, starting at the beginning and attempting to complete the first volume by midnight. The following day was Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja, and he agreed to celebrate it at our small suburban temple in Shibuya-ku. We spent the morning cleaning, cooking, and decorating. Prabhupada had not yet visited the temple, and had not seen him since his arrival. Toward noon, Sudama drove Prabhupada to the temple in our white rented Toyota van. Prabhupada entered the wood-paneled compound. He left his shoes on the Japanese-style porch and stepped up to the hallway. He passed through the narrow passage and stared for a moment at his own picture, which had been removed from the Vyasasana to make room for him to sit. It was near the place. It was on top of the place where we kept the shoes. I had written in the book that it was upside down, but the person who had done that, he told me that his remembrance was that it was on the shoe, the place where the shoes were kept, which was not very respectful. Prabhupada entered the temple room and observed its old wooden walls and its tatami mat floor. He saw our decorations of yellow, pink, and white carnations on the altar. Prabhupada was grave. He took his seat on the Vyasasana. I began to offer the aarti to Prabhupada as Kirtananda Swami, Madhuvisa Swami, Devananda Swami, Tamal Krishna, and the local Tokyo devotees performed kirtan. Prabhupada stopped the aarti. "Where is the pushpa?" he demanded. No one understood that Prabhupada was calling for flowers. Devananda Swami ran to the kitchen to prepare pushpa rice, thinking that was what Prabhupada meant. Anxiety filled the room. Prabhupada wasn't satisfied. Prabhupada looked gravely at the devotees and called for Tamal Krishna. Tamal Krishna slowly stepped up to the Vyasasana. Prabhupada spoke to him in a hushed, heavy voice. We could barely hear his words. "Why you don't know how to perform Vyasa Puja? Were you not there in Los Angeles when I performed it for my Guru Maharaj?" "Yes, Prabhupada," replied Tamal Krishna. "Then, where are the flowers? Where is the offering of prasad? So many sannyasis are here. Why a junior man is performing the aarti?" Prabhupada continued, "And why my picture is outside in the hall? The poison has also spread to here." Very heavy. My comment: Prabhupada was angry. He expected intelligence. We should have learned how to worship the spiritual master by his example, and we failed to meet his expectations. Prabhupada expressed his disappointment to Tamal Krishna. He viewed our Vyasa Puja attempt and the upside-down picture in the hallway as yet another example that he was being minimized by his disciples. Therefore, he said, quote, "The poison has also spread here." Tamal Krishna felt terrible, and he apologized to Prabhupada. He begged Prabhupada for a second chance, and Prabhupada allowed us to try again the next day. Prabhupada then instructed Tamal Krishna on how to properly celebrate Vyasa Puja. Years later, I heard that Prabhupada told a devotee who had offered him an ill-fitting kurta and then adjusted it and re-offered it, quote, "To rectify your mistakes as soon as possible is a sign of intelligence." We'll end here at this tense point, but in Krishna consciousness, there's always a happy ending. Hare Krishna.